Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Morning, morning. John Potter live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Last show of 2024. We're looking ahead to New Year's Eve, and that's why John is on the phone. Hey, John, how you doing, my friend? There he is. Okay. Hey, John, how you doing, my friend? Good morning.
Good, John. Thanks for having me.
John owns Carson City's Nashville Social Club, and that's the place I was talking about for New Year's Eve for folks trying to decide where to go. So, John, you're calling your New Year's Eve at the Nashville Social Club the last dance party. Let's tell us what's on tap on New Year's Eve for the last dance party there.
I'm happy to, and I would love to mention my creative wife and partner at the Nashville Social Club, Kitty, came up with the last dance idea when we had a 70s disco station on our Spotify, and of course the Donna Summer song came up, and she said, why don't we call our event Last Dance? And we've got Margaret's Funk Band, who's a kind of 70s old school R&B funk disco top 40 kind of band. I'm not sure they'd classify themselves as disco, but the whole event is a dance event.
Do you think disco is coming back?
Well, I do believe that some of the younger folks are becoming hip to the classics, the 70s classics. I'm not sure if the entire scene itself is coming back. We're going to try to promote it a little bit with a dress. You know, you can dress in your glam. You can nail a 2x4 to the bottom of your shoes and call them platforms, whatever works for you. But I'm not sure the disco is coming back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
I can believe the music will come back. The clothes, I just had a picture of myself in 1978 when I was doing mornings at KCBN here in Reno, and my typical clothing then were the satin Kiana shirts. Do you remember these? And on the back of one of my satin Kiana shirts, which I wore as work, you know, clothing, on the back was this huge roulette wheel, and there was a pair of dice on each side in the front.
I'm sure you were recognized from afar in that shirt, but maybe not in those days. I mean, everybody was wearing those kinds of prints, loud prints and leisure suits and polyesters and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, let's start. Okay. The event starts at 5:30. So let's go step by step here. We're going to start at 5:30 with the dinner. Tell me about the dinner.
Yeah. So if you purchased a dinner in a show package or a dinner by itself, then you have a four-course dinner, but it's a three-course pre-show dinner. And Chef Matt has prepared a few wonderful dishes. Following that, and you know what? I have to pull up my notes to tell you what the dishes are.
Did the chef tell you what the dinner is? What's he going to serve?
So one of the choices, it starts with some oysters Rockefeller, and it's got a few different appetizers. Then it's got a choice of a short rib over polenta, or it's got a seafood choice. And then it's got a salad, different kind of salad that he's doing Mediterranean salad, I believe, is what comes before the main course. Anyway, now that I messed that whole thing up.
No, it's all right. But I think people hear oysters Rockefeller and stuff, they're picturing a very expensive night. I just want to get right to the price point here so that more folks can consider going to this. And now, I said just 5 minutes ago, I've seen some casino New Year's dinner menus. They're all over $100. Yours is $70. for starting with this delectable dinner with the amazing five course. And it's got a dessert bar too, right?
Yeah. So the dinner starting at 5:30 is for those that purchase the dinner and a show. That alone is $70. Show starts at 8. So once seating begins at 7:30, starts at 8, then we have right after the ball drop, New York ball drop. We're doing a New York New Year's Eve ball drop. We'll put out a dessert and coffee bar that is for all that are attending. And that also is included. So if you buy the package, it's $110. If you buy the just the dinner, it's $70. If you buy just the show, it's $45.
Okay.
So it's reasonably priced. Our patrons in Northern Nevada have come to like us because of our reasonable pricing and our great food and great shows. And so we're pretty proud of how we've been able to maintain some great pricing.
Tell us about Margaret's funk band, John.
Well, probably one of Northern Nevada's premier funk R&B top 40 bands. I believe most of them are family members in the band. Margaret and my wife, Kitty, who met for the first time the other day, just were simpatico. They just got it. My wife, being raised in Detroit, certainly knows the R&B funk top 40 scene, and they just are extremely excited about the kind of music, dance music, and very familiar, very, very familiar R&B hits from from classic hits all the way up to modern hits.
And the 70s disco clothing is encouraged, it says here.
Yes. So it is encouraged. We like to be a place of happening. And again, my wife, I give her credit for that, those thoughts of how to do that. And so she thought, let's encourage, you know, retro wear. I got a picture yesterday from some of our servers, what they intend to wear. And it is pretty cool. I didn't realize some of them were as creative as they are. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. All right. So, folks, this is in Carson City. It's 1105 South Carson Street. Been there for years. And by the way, we talked to you on the show when you guys first opened up the Nashville Social Club. And we enjoyed a wonderful meal there, had a great time. And I am so pleased that it's been, 3 years now that you guys are doing
our third year.
Third year. Yep. Okay. I'm so glad you guys are doing so well in Carson City, because it was one of those places where I thought, I really hope that this succeeds. Now, what do you think for your success? What's the deal? Is it the entertainment that you bring in, the live bands? Is it the country music thing that you kind of focus on out there? What do you hear from people, John, as to why they keep coming back?
Well, what they certainly love about the place is that we've won 9 best of awards for both food, drink, vibe, and then of course our headline entertainment that we bring into the Swan. We had Pablo Cruz there, we had Booker T, we've got Ambrosia coming in for 2 nights. My 47 years in entertainment certainly has afforded me the luxury of having direct contact with some of the bigger agents in the country, and we tend to be on their radar for getting great acts in a small, intimate environment. So I think it's a combination thereof. Food has been great. And if you don't mind, I finally put the menu in front of me. So the menu, if I can rattle it off real quick. Oysters,
sure.
Rockefeller, beef carpaccio, crostini is an app. Salad course is a choice of a crab salad or a grilled peach and burrata over arugula salad. And then the main entree choice is a beef short rib over creamy polenta, or a stuffed Berkshire pork tenderloin with truffle mashed potatoes. So Chef Matt Farag is just been killing it with his menu, and we're just proud of the products that we're putting out, both food and entertainment.
All of that dinner, $70 with the champagne toast, and dinner and show is only $110, but $70 for all that just to begin with is incredible. The live music, playing the disco and the R&B. And you know what? I miss the days where if you could not sing, you did not sing. There's some major respect for the older music. But, okay, yep. Besides the New Year's Eve, what food dishes are you guys now famous for at the Nashville Social Club?
So, believe it or not, we've second to a great steakhouse in Carson City. We came in second for our ribeye, which Chef does an incredible job with. Our shrimp and grits. You know, we pride ourselves on what we call hip Southern food. So it's not the it's not Paula Deen lard food, which is very good, by the way. But I think that today's diner is conscious about what they're eating. But anyway, the hip Southern food features a lot of gluten-free dishes. My wife is gluten intolerant, so she designed the menu with our chef to be cognizant of the dietary restrictions, gluten being the most effective at that point. So a lot of gluten-free items are wood-fired pizzas, our pork chop over grits and collard greens is a great Southern dish. Our fried green tomatoes for appetizers, our corn ribs, our barbecued corn ribs as an appetizer have been very, very popular. And
very,
if you come in during happy hour. Yeah.
Oh, you got a happy hour too? I didn't know about that.
Oh yeah. Three to six every day, happy hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Okay. How can people make the reservations to be there for New Year's Eve? And the entire production starts at 5:30 with that delectable dinner. How can people get in on this, John?
So our website is best, thenashvilleclub.com, spelled out, thenashvilleclub.com. There's a reservations button at the top. But if you also call into us, 515-0200, the hostess can certainly set you up with your reservation and take care of you there.
All right. How many people are going to be at this New Year's Eve at your place?
So the dinner is limited to 80 so that we can guarantee our service being the quality that everybody expects. And then the show is 148 limited. And we're probably at about 80% on both right now. We've been expecting over the next few days we'll fill it right up.
Oh, I can picture it. Dance floor and all. John at Carson City's Nashville Social Club, thanks for letting the listeners know about this great, great deal and this great fun event. We want our listeners to have fun for New Year's Eve. And John, you provided a great venue for it. I appreciate your call, my friend.
John, thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. You guys do a wonderful job. We appreciate partnering with you.
All right, Nashville Social Club, bravo. Thanks, John. Take care.
All right.
I'm John Potter. Open lines now, 884-9910. We'll get into my one and only gripe about Christmas and the news. And the news, what's in the news today? We'll get into that. And anything else local, 884-9910, our number. Back after a few, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1119.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter live and local 9 to noon every Saturday right here. Last show of 2024. Craig tells me we got a couple of calls calling in about that New Year's Eve we were just talking about. They want to clarify. Is the dinner itself, the New Year's five-course dinner menu, with a dessert bar and all, is it $70 a couple or per person? It is $70 per person, still a deal. And dinner and show at the Nashville Social Club is $110 per person. And that dinner and show goes from 5:30 to 11 o'clock. And there's that champagne toast at 8 o'clock when the New York ball drops there. I promised I'd take a look at the texts. This is from Davron. We were talking about expectations for 2025. Davron writes, looking forward to the beginning of what the U.S. should have and was meant to do, conquer the world and free all people. We never won World War I or II because we quit. What? The time is now, or we will surely disappear. Okay. Interesting take. Before we say goodbye to Christmas, I only have one gripe about Christmas 2024. Probably the only gripe for the entire show is just this one thing. I don't know how you feel about this. I'd like to hear if I'm the only one who notices or is bothered by this. It's just more and more troubling to me. Oh, thank you, Craig. More troubling to me to see how secular Christmas has begun. It's hard to see it being hijacked like it's been. I remember as a kid seeing these signs around the churches, keep Christ and Christmas. I don't see that now. Even the churches have, and on TV, there are hundreds, literally hundreds of Christmas movies on Lifetime and Hallmark Channel, right? They have to start playing them in October. There are so many of them. Christmas movies, hundreds, yet in 99% of them, there's no mention of Jesus at all. We don't even get Linus and his Christian message on a Charlie Brown Christmas on TV anymore. There are some Christian-based movies that show up at the theaters, which is a very limited audience, and either by coincidence or because of that, church attendance these days, I don't know if you saw the story here, church attendance is way down at its lowest levels ever. I don't know if you saw that story. Church attendance at all-time lows in the U.S., except in Utah and Southwest Texas. And I know the reason why in Southwest Texas, because a lot of Mexicans are in Texas. And say what you will about the migrants, but Mexicans as a people still have and practice the old-fashioned values that many Americans have sadly lost. They honor and respect their elders, and they go to church. So it's unfortunate, and I love Mexico. I love traveling there. I had plans to retire there because I love the people there so much. But anyway, it's unfortunate, and it seems that we're getting farther and farther away from the reason for Christmas year after year. I remember going to the Reno Philharmonic Christmas concert. What was it? I think 5 or 6 years ago. And it was pretty interesting how they changed what Christmas is away from the classics. And by the end of the show, I realized there was not one religious piece of music in it. Not one. There was a lot of Santa. There was a reindeer. There was a guy dressed up as Fat Elvis doing Blue Christmas for laughs, but not one mention of Jesus. I mean, did they think it would offend other cultures? Well, that's our culture. Not to knock the Reno Philharmonic, it caters to its audience, and they're very skilled and talented with what they do. You know, it does its thing. It's got its vision. It serves who they serve, and God bless them all. It's not their target customer for their Christmas concerts, and I hope their target customers have a great time and enjoy their show. But I and many others here in town believe in God and Jesus, and we enjoy the holiday, what's left of it, and we come out of it better. And who remembers this? Christmas in heaven, what do? They all come to earth to spend it with you. So save them a space, one empty chair. You might not see them, but they will be there. Anyway, I'll shut up. I'm very, very nostalgic about what Christmas used to be like. And aside from that, I always look forward to your texts and calls. And when I don't get any calls, like right now, I tell the boss, well, that's because they're listening. I'm so riveting that they're just listening, boss. Oh, man. All right. Already time for Fox News. I'm John Potter. We have 1.5 hour to go in 2024 on this radio show every Saturday from 9 to noon. And I'd be happy to take your calls. And if we get those calls, you're next. 884-9910. Breaking for Fox News back in a few minutes on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1129.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Live and local, John Potter. Thank you, friends, for tuning in. Current temperature 57 degrees. I think that's the warmest it's going to be all day. And according to my phone, which seems to know exactly what time it starts raining, not much of a chance. Only 5% chance of that happening right about now. All right, let's go to the phones. Oh, my gosh, all three lines are we filled up all the lines in case you're getting a busy signal, so let's run through them. Tim is calling in from Carson. Hey, Tim, good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, John. Hey, I got two quick things. The first one's kind of a pet peeve, and that is for all the retailers out there, seems like they start running their ads about last-minute Christmas gifts earlier and earlier. So, I mean, it could be in October, and they're talking about get your last-minute Christmas gifts on sale. So it just, it's kind of like, I don't know what's going through their mind with that. But and the other thing, too, real quick, and that is, and I know it's off topic, kind of, but it's on the tariffs, you know, that Trump's talking about for Mexico and Canada. That I read a whole Wall Street Journal article yesterday about it. There's not one word in the whole thing about the tariffs, how they could all be avoided if both countries can get control of their borders, their immigration into this country. Take control on their side and also limit the fentanyl distribution through their borders. I mean, yeah. If they do that, if they put – there's no tariffs. And,
right.
And here you have respected news organizations not even bringing any of that up.
Respected news organizations, did you say?
Well,
Where?
appreciate that, Tim. You reminded me to talk about the tariffs. I'm going to bring that up. Number one, how other countries have been ripping us off, especially Canada and China, that the media never shows that side of things. And also, the Trump reasons for the tariffs are positive ones to stop the flow of fentanyl and all the deaths caused by it crossing the border. I appreciate your call, though. Got to run. Thank you much. Let's go to Eveline calling from Reno. Hey, Eva, good morning.
I think you meant Evelyn.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was, maybe I didn't pronounce it well when I called. I am listening to your show, and I do love your show. And I stopped my car and I felt very compelled to call you about Christmas and Christ. I feel the same way you do. We lost the purpose of Christmas. I just want to remind the world and Reno and everybody listening that Christmas is all about Jesus. Further, Jesus was born in Palestine, and he was Palestinian. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Eveline. I appreciate that very much that you called. Yeah, my complaint was mainly media again or ignoring that aspect of what Christmas really is. Let's go to Ron calling from Reno. Hey, Ron, I'm glad you called.
Hey, John. Good seeing that you have a nice radio show there. I sure miss you from being on the TV. I quit watching after you were gone, so Channel 2 as far as the news. But anyway, what I'm calling about is my wife, about probably 6-7 weeks ago, went for a walk and found some first-class mail. And she brought home this bag full of mail. So the next day, we walked down there, and, yeah, there's mail all over in the sagebrush. So we brought the bag of mail down to the post office and had a delivery supervisor come up front. We told him about where we found it and all that. And he was like, oh, yeah, we'll get on it. So we waited about a week, and we go walking back down there, and there's still mail everywhere. and this is all first class. This is from like January or February. We found some ads that had that date. So anyway, this mail's been lost for a while. So we gathered up another bag and we talked to somebody else at the post office. And they sounded very concerned. And so anyway, I went down there again today and looked, and there's still first class mail in the sagebrush there. And
well,
I'm
Ron,
just amazed.
Where do you think that's coming from? I mean, I was going to first, when you started, I was going to go into, yeah, there's a lot of mailbox thieves out there, but it sounds like you're talking about maybe a postal worker leaving these things out or what?
Personally, what I think happened, I think somebody had a tray of mail in an open space and it flew off the truck, because all this mail is scattered in a little short area. It's not like somebody took a tray and dumped it. It looks like it flew and dispersed along the side of the road for like, I don't know, 100, 150 feet. And I don't think a postal carrier would just go around, you know, throwing this along the road for 150 feet. They'd dump it in one spot. But my concern is that the post office, this is all like income tax stuff and bank statements, all for tax purposes. And there's a lot of info there that somebody, if they find this mail, they could steal some identities. It belongs to a zip code for Virginia Foothills, but that's
right,
not the area it's in.
All right. So, Ron, you collected the mail, you're saying, yourself, and did you bring it to the post office to redeliver?
We brought two bags there, and we told them there's still more there, and they didn't do anything about it.
They didn't send a car out right away to clean the
Nothing.
Whole thing up? Okay.
Nope. And I even drew, the second time, I drew a very detailed map as to where it is. I'm not going to say where it is because I don't want somebody to go along and find it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called. It gets the word out, and maybe somebody else can that's what we need, awareness when these things go so crazy like that. Thanks for letting us know about that, Ron. And by the way, folks, empty your mailboxes, because this is when people are ripping off mailboxes because of all the gift cards people send during the Christmas season. And I don't know how, Ron, I got to ask you, how did you get a supervisor to come out and talk to you?
Oh,
because when I had an issue, they said they don't come out and talk to people, those supervisors. So you must have been very convincing. I guess I'm too nice of a guy.
I just think that when they see a big bag of first class mail that isn't yours, you know, that's something that would raise alarms, but I guess it didn't raise enough alarms because they don't care about the rest of it out there.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
So,
Appreciate your call.
Quick question.
Hold on, Ron.
So the post office you went to, I'm presuming, is the one over by Bishop Vassar. Minogue High School?
On Vassar,
Oh, you went to Vassar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because the post office it delivers to the Highlands and the Foothills is the one right there next to Bishop Minogue High School, and they have their own investigative unit in that location.
No, do they?
Yeah,
no.
but when, you know, when I went down there, I actually talked to the secretary for the postmaster at the Vassar Post Office, and she said she was actually going to get a postal inspector to look into it, and nothing's happened. I don't know how busy those postal inspectors are, but it's been probably almost a month since we did that.
Yeah, okay. Boy, I miss customer service. I really do. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Keep in touch.
Kind of my point.
All right, yeah. Got to take a break. We got one more segment up next, and the lines are open now, 884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local. I don't have all the answers. I may not even have three answers, but it's good to get the word out about these things because, you know, the TV news ain't going to do anything about it. Shut up, John. 884-9910. I'll be back in a few minutes for our final segment on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1144.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. 57 degrees now in Reno. We have no snow tire or chain controls right now in advance of this next winter storm that Craig Swope was just talking about. But the high winds, okay, vehicles over 9 feet prohibited through Washoe Valley on both roads at the moment. That's it. Took calls. Somebody brought up the tariffs. And here's the latest. Two Canadian government officials met with Trump allies yesterday about a border security plan that they hope will end Trump's threats to impose tariffs on Canadian goods. At the same time, Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau is barely hanging on to his job with 20-some percent approval ratings. Well, I just hope the next government there can fix that country. But it isn't like isn't it just like our mainstream media to be all over how the Trump tariffs are going to hurt Canada, when I lived for decades growing up in upstate New York and I have never heard our national media. I still haven't heard it now. Ever heard the TV news hammer the Canadian government for punishing our U.S. farmers with their extremely high tariffs? No, it's all, you know, we're the bad guys because we're finally putting tariffs on them. Certain countries are ripping us off and have been for years. And regardless of what the mainstream media has to say, Canada needs us more than we need them. And now big change is finally happening. You know, next up, the USMCA agreement, otherwise known as NAFTA 2, is up for its renewal signature in 2026, which means 2025 coming up is the renegotiation year for that. And Trump's tariffs are a political notice to Mexico and Canada that next year's renegotiations will have security and immigration features included. It's a win-win. And there's good reason for their tariffs in many ways. Climate change is in the news today. Reading here from the AP under the headline, New York to charge fossil fuel companies for damage from climate change. Oil and other fuel companies will have to pay fees to help New York fight the effects of climate change. Governor Kathy Hochul signed legislation that would require fossil fuel producers, oil companies, to pay $75 billion to, quote, help that state adapt to climate change. The new law requires companies responsible for greenhouse gas emissions to pay the new fee. Man, I'm amazed they beat California to the punch with this. But why hit the companies with the fee? Why not just make the people who use the fuel pay the fines? Oh, wait, they will, right? Corporations are a conduit. The consumer always pays. And all this will do is increase energy costs for New Yorkers, and that's not going to be the only state to do this. But as for now, Texas is, I'm sure, going to happily take your energy jobs as they leave that state. A new tax oil companies have to pay that'll raise gas prices, showing the governor there has just no concept of how the world or businesses operate. If they are required to pay $3 billion a year, it'll get passed on to customers, i.e. the taxpayers, under the guise of climate change, using the unproven narrative that recent severe weather events can be directly attributed to human-induced global warming. And if you don't believe in climate change, it's because you were not properly indoctrinated, okay? I mean, you know, when I was taking earth science in 11th grade back in the early 70s, the science said we were on the verge of an ice age. So, you know, I'm kind of confused. I mean, which science was right? I do believe in some degree of climate change, nothing like how they say it's going to change now. I believe in change, not crisis, which is how it's portrayed now. There's climate change, and then there's man-made climate change. One's natural, and has been happening since the beginning of time. The other could be a political hoax for more power and, as we see in New York, more money. Yeah, the winters here are definitely much milder than, say, 50 years ago when I was here. And it was common, I remember, to see the snow reaching the roofs at Tahoe. In Reno back then, we couldn't see down the street backing out of our driveways for 3 months years ago. Changing climate is a natural force that's been happening since the beginning of time. Weather doesn't stay static, or either climate. While we as humans may have some effect on things, they're minimal at best, and nothing we can do can stop it from happening. Instead, I look at things like planet shift, which has been happening since the beginning of time, and the climate changes cause the sun to hit at a different angle. Because of that, climate change agenda is for money. So I believe an ever-changing climate in the weather, not Al Gore, climate change is just another name for bigger government and less freedom. Says me. Okay. What else in the news? Kamala Harris. Remember her? Kamala Harris may have lost the presidential election, but she may be laughing her way to the bank, as it's reported that multiple book publishers are offering big bucks for a book deal. They're offering up to $20 million for the exclusive rights for her to reveal how she not only blew the election, but also blew through a whopping $1.5 billion fundraising war chest. All right, okay, that's wishful thinking. That's probably not going to be in there. But I guess the offers for her to make a book deal just poured in the day after the election. No kidding, they're going to sell enough of her books to cover $20 million? I think the likelihood is pretty low. And history says if your last name is not Obama, nobody wants to read your political book. VP Harris is no Michelle Obama. Unless she writes like a new Harry Potter book, maybe. Why not? She's going to write fiction anyway. but seriously, I think she won't sell enough to cover $20 million. And so why are they offering this? Well, I think it ends up being a kind of a crooked sort of political contribution from the publisher to the politician. Meanwhile, Trump is selling everything. I'm a little confused from all these ads I keep hearing and seeing on the late night cable for the Trump watch and the Trump golden sneakers and these products where it's his voice doing the ad. I heard him doing this gold watch ad 2 days ago, and I'm reading this from a month ago. Get a very early jump on next year and count down to Christmas with the $38 Trump Advent Calendar. Or trim the tree with a $16 MAGA hat ornament sold in 9 colors. A glass version of the hat ornament is $92. Stuff stockings with an $86 Trump chocolate gold bar and a $22 pair of candy cane socks printed with Trump. Prepare a holiday feast with a $14 Trump Christmas tree pot holder. Has he missed any possible tie-in here? And a $28 Trump apron featuring Santa waving an American flag. For dogs, there are orange leashes and colors emblazoned with Trump's name. For kids, $38 teddy bear wearing a red, white, or blue Trump sweater and an array of Trump sweets, including $16 Trump gummy bears. Gifts can be wrapped in $28 golden Trump wrapping paper or put into $14 Trump ornament gift bags. There's also a Trump fragrance line, which includes the $199 Victory 47 perfume for women and the Fight, Fight, Fight cologne for men. He did steaks once, and I think a chess set. Remember the ties? I had a couple of ties I used to wear on Channel 2, Trump in the back. And those trading cards. And you know what? It sells. The Biden Depends, folks, did not sell. But Trump stuff does. And I'm surprised the Democrats and the media doesn't jump all over him for this. You'd think they would, but there are Trump supporters, and then there's a small portion of those Trump supporters who love the man in every way, and they almost worship him, right? And also, you know, and you may think this is a reach to excuse the commercializing, but those fans, they love the stuff. And as president, he doesn't take a salary. He didn't get into politics for profit. He's fighting because he, you know, loves the people of this country and wants to make America great again, right? And plus, it's really nothing that new. Politicians have long sold T-shirts and hats and bumper stickers, their books, you know, to finance their campaigns or, you know, committees. I remember buying a campaign button from the local Nixon campaign office for $1.60. Hey, whatever happened to campaign buttons? Anyway, oh my gosh, time's up. I had a fun time here today. Goodbye, 2024. I'll talk to you in 2025. Craig, thanks for your help again from Carson City. I'll talk to you again next Saturday morning, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter. Thanks for tuning in on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 11:58. Bye-bye.